wonderful to have you here. My name is Rabbi Safran. I'm glad you were able to make it. We were emailing back and forth, and finally we set a date and a time. Here, where you are, is the world headquarters of the OU. The OU is the world's largest and most respected kosher certification agency and symbol. It's a symbol that's most identified with kosher here and throughout the world. The OU certifies more than 65% of all the products that are certified kosher in the world. We certify 6,000 plants in 83 countries. America, Israel, and everything else in between. China, Thailand, Turkey, India, wherever there are civilized people who are producing foods, we were blessed by the Ribono Shel Olam to be given the tremendous freedom here in the United States to expand kosher in such a way that was unknown ever before in history. My grandmother and my great-grandmother, the great majority of the food she ate, she produced at home in her little kitchen. Today, there's hardly a place around the world where foods aren't produced, either finished foods or ingredients that ultimately are used in the production of finished food that you and I eat every day and that we pull off the shelf of our supermarkets or groceries as second nature. We don't even think about it. Most people don't even think about the fact that they have to look for the kosher certification per se. They say, if it has an OU, it's kosher, we're going to buy it, we're going to take it home. So this is where you are today. There are about 50 rabbis on this floor. There are about 400 field representatives throughout the world inspecting, visiting kosher certified plants certified by the OU. And this is where one could not only do a lot about certifying kosher foods, but can also learn about how kosher foods become certified and what OU certification is. So we chose one of our finest, most outstanding RCs. RC means rabbinic coordinator, Rabbi Bendelstein, Rabbi Israel Bendelstein, who has charge of many, 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 many tens of OU certified companies, the overwhelming majority of them in the baking industry. A lot of cakes and cookies that people eat, you know, and a great majority of them are OU certified. Rabbi Bendelstein is also an outstanding mechanech. He's an educator, he's taught at yeshivas, and he's one of the finest people we have here. So I thought that he would be the best person to spend the hour with you and to give you an introduction to OU certification. Thanks for coming, and have a wonderful, wonderful stay with Rabbi Bendelstein.
Thank you.
And before you leave, these are our two most recent issues of a very, very wonderful magazine we put out here. Take one for yourself, and don't read it while Rabbi Bendelstein talks.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Safran. I am actually very humbled and honored and privileged to address this august audience, and I understand that most of you are coming from the Muncie, New York community, and once again, we welcome you here to OU headquarters. I am just, Rabbi Safran was pretty much building me up, but I am just a small cog in a huge wheel with the responsibilities that we have upon our shoulders. It is greatly a privilege and an honor to be working for this very distinguished organization, and we're hoping just even to give you somewhat of a glimpse of what OU certification and what kashrus is about today. I'm going to try to preview to you some basics of kashrus, but not too basic, because I understand that you do have some background to begin with. Well, you know, when we start out in kashrus, I like to think about the words of Hagon Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, Zofrein Tzadik Kadosh Lebracha, great sage and rabbi, and he was keen on saying that the kasha is alamol besser from the teretz. The question is always better than the answer. And if there's anything that I can give over to you today, is that when we come out, we should know when to ask a question, and when to know if there is an issue, something has to be addressed. Because if you're looking out for things out there in the world, whether it's in a supermarket, whether it's in a concession stand, whether it's at a party, if you're more educated, that's, we know we're doing our job properly. And Rabbi Safran has been terrific in spreading the word and making people aware that kosher is not just what we eat, but it's also an entire education, and it's also a way of life. And we hope, even just to give you that type of inkling and notion into kashrus, and hopefully I'll be able to achieve that result today. The first thing I'd like to share with you is that we have a dictionary. We call it our kosher dictionary. And many words that are in the kosher dictionary may not appear in the dictionary that you're familiar with, the Merriam-Webster dictionary. And some words that are in Merriam-Webster do not appear in the kosher dictionary. And I think first and foremost, it's important for you all to know that we have one word we've taken out of the kosher dictionary that's in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. And that word is assume. In kosher, we do not assume. We never assume anything. Just because something was kosher yesterday does not mean that it's going to be kosher today. And just because you saw an OU on a product that appeared last week, last month, or even yesterday, doesn't mean that you do not have to check today. We see plenty of people going ahead and shopping the supermarkets, pulling off items from the shelves, and not even bothering to look, because they naturally assume that an item is kosher. I can't impress upon you and underscore enough how important it is for you to check. And that's a great milestone and a great achievement if you're able to become more alert and more prudent in your shopping and in what you eat so that you're checking at all times. So we don't assume. And, you know, between the period of, Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, we read Pirkei Avos. And the importance of always questioning. And I think this week was Perek Beis, the second Perek in Ethics of Our Fathers. And there we read about magnificent pearls of wisdom that our rabbis, our sages, have shared with us. And one of the words in the very first chapter of the Pirkei Avos is Asei Lecha Rav. Make for yourself a rabbi. The histalik min hasafik, so that you should be careful not to have any doubt. And it's always important to have some direction, guidance in your life, to have someone there for whom you can ask. And in this office here, Baruch Hashem, we're graced with many, many outstanding rabbis, premier and foremost in their scholarship, in their erudition. And we have people we could always turn to if we have a question. And two of our great rabbis are what we call our poskim, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky Shlita and Rav Herschel Schefter Shlita, are there for us to ask questions whenever we perceive there to be an issue. And thank God, they have virtually all the Shulchan Aruch, the code on their fingertips, and we get answers. And another word that I like to say that's pretty much not in our dictionary, even though I said you should always learn to question and become aware of issues that may arise, I hardly believe that there's any problem that's insoluble. I think if there's anything that we look at, especially as the industry develops and grows, there's always, almost always, a solution to any question. But you need the person to ask, and you need the resource. And that's one thing we have, Baruch Hashem, at this office. Now, that's why all other agencies, they come to us to ask the questions and to learn from us. And it's our mission also to educate you as also a communal service. They point out also that this fits in quite elegantly into the Kriya Shema. We say Kriya Shema every day, twice a day. And in the Kriya Shema we read, he says over there, he says, Hishamru lachem pen yifteh. He says, be careful lest you go astray. And there was one great commentary, or Rav Menachem Sacks, who actually commented on this, and he has a commentary on the Pirkei Avos. And he remarked, says, what should you be careful of? Be careful of pen, maybe. You have to be careful of maybes, because we don't want to walk around with too many maybes in our life. We want to walk around with definitive answers. We want to know exactly what to do. And that's what kashrus is. We want to walk out as we shop the shelves. We want to know what's kosher, what's not kosher. We want to have the answers. And that's what I mean. If you have yourself a rabbi, if you have someone to give yourself direction, histalek minasafik, you'll be careful not to have the doubts in your head. Because you'll have someone, you'll have the resource, and you'll have the person for whom to ask. And as you come here to this office today, hopefully, you'll have a lot of answers. I'll be able to share with you some of the basics and to make you aware of kashrus. But even more than that, that you should be able to know how to ask the question when there is a question, and to become more prudent in that, and to know that you have here this office, the OU headquarters, to ask at any time that you wish. So that should make you feel comfortable and confident in and by itself. So let me share with you some of the things that we come across in kosher, in kashrus, and some of the things that you should know about when you do your shopping and when you're attending whatever fair, whatever party you may have. I have here a can of asparagus. And many people do their shopping by reading ingredient panels. I don't know if there's anybody here that always that likes to shop by just reading the ingredients. And sometimes when people read ingredients, they see that by just reading alone, if the ingredients seem innocuous enough, there doesn't seem to be any kosher problem per se. So then, why should it matter if there's a kosher symbol? Well, the first thing I want to tell you is that ingredients panels is not what it seems to the naked eye. It's really more than meets the eye. And there's much behind the ingredient panel as far as the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is concerned. That has to be disclosed to you, the consumer, that you may not know about. And I've taken this can of asparagus as an example. And if we read the ingredients on this asparagus label, it says, first of all, in the ingredients, it has asparagus. Now, what could be wrong? Do we know vegetables generally? All vegetables should be kosher. Can there be anything wrong with the vegetable? So the asparagus is kosher. And the next ingredient we have on here is water. Now, there was a tumult with the water in the New York City area. But putting that all aside, what can be wrong with water? Seems innocuous enough. And the last ingredient is salt. So we have three ingredients that are harmless, seem to be kosher in and by themselves. So can I go ahead and take this asparagus spears can and cook it at home? Can I assume that this is kosher? Sure enough, there is no kosher symbol on this asparagus spears. So what's wrong with just pulling this product and using it for one of my meals, in assuming that it is kosher? Well, does anyone want to venture to say what could be wrong with the asparagus?
Bugs.
Well, the
okay, very good.
Adamation, okay. Right? You cannot eat the top of the vegetable.
Top of the that's right. The asparagus pier. Okay, so we have issue. You're both alluding to a very, very important issue, and that is asparagus are notorious for having bugs. And one of the things in the Torah that tells us, one of the rules of kosher dietary law of kashrus is that we're not allowed to eat bugs. And especially the tips, like you pointed out, the tips of the asparagus, you have crevices and small nooks and crannies where the bugs can hide. And that's one issue that we can have with this can of asparagus. Is there any other issue that you can think of that would pose a problem with buying this can of asparagus? Yes?
Would all this produce from the same plant?
Okay, excellent. Excellent. So one of the things that the Food and Drug Administration has determined, and according to their rules and regulations, you do not have to disclose on the ingredient panel how a food is processed and on what equipment it is made. And that could be all important as far as kosher is concerned. Let me give you the rundown on this can of this can of vegetables. In many vegetable plants, well, I shouldn't say many, but in vegetable plants, it's not so uncommon to find that you can have canned vegetables, and also in the same plant, you can have pork and beans being made. Now, what would that mean? Does that mean that they're running it on the same production line? Many of these companies, when they make the canned vegetables, they have what they call retorts. Now, what are these retorts? Some of you have taken biology and know that bacteria has a strong aversion to heat. Anytime you have high heat, the bacteria seems to disappear and run away. So the companies, first and foremost, are looking out for your health, for the consumer's health. So what do they have to do? When they can the vegetable, they have to put the vegetable in these large, so to speak, kettles, cooking kettles, what they call, they call them retorts. And what it does is they quickly heat up the cans in these retorts, or they cook them momentarily to remove any bacteria that may be in the can, so that when the consumer gets the product, and when they buy it from the supermarket, they know that they're getting something healthy and wholesome. Now, this can pose a problem for kosher, because in these same retorts that they're cooking, in this case, your canned of asparagus spears, they can be cooking also, or putting in the retort, pork and beans. And what would that do? One of the laws of the halachos of kashrus is that there cannot be any blia. If I cook something which is not kosher in a pot, and then I want to put something that is kosher in that pot, so the item that even is kosher will become not kosher, because it has a blia, it has an absorption of the non-kosher product. So by the same token, you have over here the same problem, because you have the can of kosher vegetable that absorbing the taste, so to speak, is boleya from the non-kosher pork and beans in this instance. And that does not have to be claimed on the ingredients. Nowhere will you see this on the ingredient that this is a cooked item. It doesn't say that this is cooked, because the Food and Drug Administration says that this is not material or information that need be disclosed to you, the consumer. And there's no way of you to know about that. But we, who deal with this in kashrus, do know about this and set up systems and precautions so that you, the consumer, should be alerted to this. Yes?
But aren't those machines cleaned in between? And won't they be boiling water and stuff to clean them in between anyways?
Okay, that's an excellent question. An excellent question. Whenever we kosherize, so to speak, okay, or koshering, the question that we have here is, well, won't the machines be cleaned in between productions of the pork and beans and the kosher vegetable? Well, there are a few answers to that question. But first of all, whenever we do what we do kosherizing, okay, or boil up equipment or purge the equipment to make it kosher again, first of all, there has to be a supervisor. We have to send one of our own in to ensure that. And also, their standards of purging may be subpar to the standards that we have to kosher. Okay, so they may not reach either the desired temperature. The equipment may not be sanitized or cleaned as well as we would like it to be. So there are a number of issues which cannot be used unless we have someone there and they've followed our program. And that's how we would make the vegetables kosher. Either the retorts would be kosherized, like we say, or there would be a company or a factory that only does kosher production. And we have people reviewing this on a very, very regular basis. Yes?
Do non-kosher factories use like retorts for cans?
For cans, yes. All the vegetable factories, they must use the retort in order to rid it of any bacteria. So this is something which has to be done as far as health is concerned. I have here my second example, a jar of maraschino cherries. Now, these maraschino cherries, have any of us eaten maraschino cherries before? Okay. By a show of hand, who has eaten maraschino cherries? Okay, so we certainly know about maraschino cherries, and you'll notice, I don't know if you've ever looked into this before, that the cherry itself is a bright, bright red. This is not the natural color of cherry. The natural color of a cherry is a little bit more dull. Okay. And it's not as bright. And the companies do this in order to appeal to you, the consumer. Because you see something bright, it makes it look a little bit more lichtig, makes you more cheerful, more happy, and you're going to buy it. It's more eye-appealing. And you should know that everyone, all companies, are looking into products to make things look more attractive. And this is done in order to attract you, the consumer, to make the purchase. And the way they do this is by adding food color. They add a food color to the cherry, in this case a red color, a red dye, to make it redder than its natural red color. Now you should know, as a consumer, that not all colors that they inject in products can't necessarily be kosher. In this instance, you have actually a red color, which is called carmine, and you should know this, C-A-R-M-I-N-E. Has anyone ever heard of this before? Yes. Carmine is a color that comes from actually a fly or a beetle in South America. And what they do is they take this beetle, they dry it out, and companies use this. It has as a natural color to make, in this case it could be maraschino cherries. Okay, if you buy a fruit cocktail, you have to always be careful if there are cherries in the fruit cocktail. And products of the sort. Now the Food and Drug Administration, they say that when you write on the ingredients, you don't have to say carmine, that this has carmine in it. all you have to say is natural and artificial color. And on this one, in fact, it says natural and artificial flavors, but it does say a red number 40. You know exactly which red it. But on many, all it would say is natural color. And that could be anything. So you, again, as the consumer, will not know that this may be something that you have to be careful about. So here we got another item that does not have to be disclosed on the ingredient panel.